Truth.
Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot.
We're knights of the round table. We dance where we're able. We do routine to call a scene to footwork impeccable. We dine well here in Camelot. We eat ham and jam and spam a lot. We're knights of the round table. Our shows are for the table. So many times we're given rhyme to our quiet dancing rainbow. We're off the mad in Camelot. We sing from the diaphragm.
All right, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. We are back. That's a scene from a Monty Python film. And anyway, we have with us Jeff Nyquist. His website is jrnyquist.blog. His books for sale at amazon.com. Leon Green, former U.S. Navy officer. We hope to be joined soon by my friend Steve Ben Noon, former CIA field agent. His website's israelinewslive.org. Okay, gentlemen, we talk every week, we educate people, we inform them, we cause them hopefully to do their own independent research. And Jeff, you mentioned a moment ago one of my favorite books written by a high-level KGB defector, Anatoly Golitsyn, titled New Lies for Old. That's one of the most important books a person could read, don't you think, Jeff?
Well, it's important if you want to understand politics and international affairs, because Golitsyn has the distinction of being the only analyst and as a KGB, former KGB counterintelligence guy, of actually predicting accurately the political landscape of the future based on knowledge of the strategies that the communists were pursuing and were developing and the structures they were building in the late 50s and early 60s. His 1984 book is really amazing, because the things he said in there are still coming true.
Absolutely. I believe his defection was it 1963 or 64, along in there?
He defected in December of 61.
61, that long ago, during the Kennedy administration.
Yeah, and he interacted with Robert Kennedy, the Attorney General, and helping advise him about moles in the CIA. Robert Kennedy and President John Kennedy became very concerned that the CIA had been infiltrated by the communists, and I think it had been.
And then he had some success with his high level debriefs, but he thank goodness he published his book in 1984. 5 years before what he said would happen, that would be the contrived make-believe collapse of the Soviet Union that was set up decades in advance, and he knew about it in 1961. So he knew in 1961 that at some point in the future the Soviet Union would appear to collapse. He wrote his book about it 5 years before these things took place in 1984, and then beginning in 1989, the collapse of the Soviet Union and all the East Communist countries appeared to happen spontaneously, didn't they?
Yeah, of course. That's nonsense. If you were to look at Robert Bukhar, who's worked in the office of the Czech president, he did a documentary on the collapse of communist Czechoslovakia, in which he interviews former STB, that's the Czech KGB guys, who are talking about how all the orders came from Moscow, that they were following a plan. And talked about Vaclav Havel's, interviewed Vaclav Havel's bodyguards, saying that the KGB, was basically saying, Havel, you're our guy. So you get similar stories about Lech Walesa in Poland, where a former UB guy in Poland, Polish KGB, testified in open court that Lech Walesa was a stooge of the communist secret police in Poland. So you have, I remember I met in the early 90s, one of the leaders of Fighting Solidarity, saying we had to break away from Solidarity because the communists just joined Solidarity en masse, took it over. And then they were pushing Walesa, and he said Walesa was a stooge. He was the first person to tell me Walesa was a stooge of the KGB, of the Russians and the communists.
When I first heard that.
So the changes,
I was so disappointed when I first heard that, but go ahead.
Yeah, the controlled opposition thing, they had to prepare for it for years. And you have the same thing with Civic Forum all these different organizations in Eastern Europe. The communists, one of the things that Galitzin knew at the base about this, about their strategy, was that when the Alexander Shaloupin became head of the KGB, this is when the strategy was starting to be put in effect, and they had to redesign the KGB to carry out this deception, because there was a committee under Brezhnev that designed their strategy. This was when Khrushchev was in charge of the Soviet Union. This is why Brezhnev became such an important person. He was the guy who brought the brains together that formed the strategy. And the strategy had two legs. One was preparation for nuclear war in case the deception failed, and the other was the deception. And they had to organize the KGB into an inner and outer KGB, because they had to make sure that the KGB people who were in the know could never, ever defect, that they would never be let out of anyone's sight, that they had bodyguards, that they had minders, that that they had redesigned it so that most of the KGB people operating overseas had no idea about this strategy, because if they defected or came under control, then they couldn't give it away. So they had to protect their own people from knowledge of this. This later came to hurt them in the period of, towards the collapse of the Soviet Union, where there was a lot of confusion. And people thought that some of the people in the system thought that the collapse was real and didn't know.
Well, of course they would think it was real. They knew nothing else.
Well, one KGB officer who worked in Vienna told me that when they saw the statue of Felix Dzerzhinsky in front of the headquarters of the old Cheka in Dzerzhinsky Square, when they saw it lowered gently with cranes and carted off safely, not torn down and broken to pieces by the mob, they knew that the changes were under control, the changes
right.
in Russia.
Right, right. Absolutely. Well, a friend of mine, he escaped Czechoslovakia, which is now the Czech Republic, while communism was still in full force in the mid-1980s. And he was just a boy when the Russians came in. He was about a 9-year-old boy when the Russians crossed the Czech border with their tanks. And I've watched a film a documentary of that event, and it still brings tears to his eyes to sit there and watch the Russian tanks roll across the Czech border. And, of course, the Czechs were, at the time, were asking for, and this was 1968, I believe, were asking for Americans to come to their aid, weren't they?
I don't remember that. The Hungarians asked for our aid in
1956. That was 1956.
They asked for our aid, but I don't think because Dubček, if Dubček had asked, and he was the head of Czechoslovakia at the time, if he'd asked for aid, they would have executed him, and they didn't. They basically just demoted him. And so Dubček was the communist leader of Czechoslovakia who wanted communism with a human face. What Galitzin says about that is he said it was a dress rehearsal. They were basically rehearsing liberalization in 1968 as an experiment.
Right,
And to see how it would go, see how they could make it, you know. Because when you create the mechanisms to control a democracy that you are creating yourself out of whole cloth, to convince the West that the Warsaw Pact and communism is dead, it's quite a thing to do. And, of course, they ultimately failed in countries like the Baltic states and Poland. And in Ukraine, in a former Soviet republic, Ukrainians had always had a problem with the Soviet regime because of the way it starved them. So Ukraine is a special case. And Ukraine got away from them. Poland got away from them through a process. The Poles discovered that the Russians were controlling them through the Polish military intelligence, which was a giant nest of Russian spies that were then controlling the different political parties in Poland by operating agents in them. And that they discovered around 2007, if my memory serves. So this created a lot of explosions within Polish politics. And so Poland managed to get free of the Russian control. And but it's never, the reason Poland is so forthright in its opposition is because they have fought this battle internally, a battle that we're going to have to fight here to find out who the traitors and spies and the people under the pay of the Russians and Chinese are and how that works.
Absolutely. Well, it was a tough process for the Poles, and it'll be a tough process for us as well, won't it?
Yeah, it is, because we think of ourselves as invulnerable, and we think of the CIA and FBI as omnicompetent. But I think that as people look out and see how the FBI has been infiltrated by communists, how you have communists, you know, Marxists, as they call them, coming into the Justice Department under Obama. And the FBI, you know, was famously independent, you know, it's technically under the Justice Department, but it had a very independent streak. And it was within this era, within the last 20 years, that really the FBI became completely beholden to the Justice Department, where the Justice Department snaps its fingers and they jump. That's what I was told by an FBI insider.
Well, so yeah, that makes sense. That makes perfect sense. We are at open lines if you want to give us a call at 512-248-8252. Jeff, what direction would you like to go next, sir?
Ah, well,
Didn't mean to catch you off guard there.
We can, yeah, I wasn't thinking I was going to take us anywhere.
Tell us about your next article. You publish a new article at least once a week. What's your next article?
Well, my last article, I just published something yesterday about all the things that are happening here strategically, giving a strategic context for everything. And the thing about most people, when they reason, the problem is that they don't reason from the right context. So you have to know the history. You have to know a lot of details. That's uncomfortable, because people like to make broad statements and talk about conspiracies and intrigues when they really don't have any specifics. So they don't know what really went on, and the devil is in the details and in knowing what actually happened. So things can turn out to be rather different than what we're given the impression from reading the newspapers or listening to people talk. And the problem today with people who are perfectly honest in their everyday life end up adopting something that amounts to an ideology in politics. And ideology is a kind of it's a shortcut, and it's not the truth. The truth is all these messy details about what happens. Ideologies, they homogenize reality, but not strictly according to the truth. So that whenever you are upholding an ideology, you're in a sense, you're participating in kind of a lie, and it becomes groupthink, and it can become very misleading. You really have to know something and try to stick to that and try to figure it out. Ideology is a kind of curse, and we do live in the age of ideology, where people use this shortcut of, well, it's you know, the, like with libertarians. They believe that, you know, all we have to do is have a free economy and everything will fall into place, and the free market will cause all these good things to happen. That's an ideology, because if you study, you know, von Bavirk or Ludwig von Mises, who they like to refer to, the actual economic science is it's a form of rationalistic reasoning about economic processes, in which they frankly, you know, the Austrian school says, look, this is not exactly the way reality works. These are like models of, we use ideal types. An ideal type is like the, you know, like democracy or the free market itself is an ideal type that doesn't exist in real life. There's no free market in real life. It's a concept. Because why is there no free market? Because there's people with guns, right? All over the world, there's mafias and there's governments and there's in between. And so the market is always constrained in some way by force. And so the question is, what are the social forces that give rise to, you know, the men with guns? So we had emerging out of the Middle Ages, we had the knights, you know, the feudal aristocracy. And it was a warrior aristocracy. And that really, Joseph Schumpeter, as an Austrian economist, from Austria, pointed out that this was actually crucial to capitalism. The capitalism only rose within the protective shell of the European warrior aristocracy. You look at George Washington, they called him a high-flying aristocrat. George Washington studied the aristocratic ethic and followed it as this noble way of behaving. And that is really the founding of America. So the free market, while it's important for our prosperity, is one of these concepts that everything doesn't flow from it. There's other factors. And then there's the effect of religion, the spiritualizing forces in the society. So ideology tries to simplify all these things, to make it all about economics like libertarians do, or to make it all about class struggle like the Marxists do, or to make it all about race like the Nazis do. So being into reality versus being into an ideology is, I think, very important, because these groups with their groupthink of people who are convinced of things that really aren't true can have a very negative effect on our future, political and economic, because they just simply, they're misunderstanding how things work and what they need to do, if that makes sense.
It makes perfect sense, Leon. Jeff, it makes perfect sense. And, I support your analysis 100%. And if you've got a question or comment, we'll take that call at 512-248-8252. Looks like we have Deborah in Arizona. Good morning, Deborah.
Yes, I have a question about the pronoun issue, if anybody wants to answer. But there was a writer called C.K. Ogden who put out a one book, Basic Words. Did he at one time, and Jeff might know on this, argue about pronouns being used regarding male, female, gender?
I don't know the details of that, but this again is it's one of the things that the revolutionaries and communists, people that want to overthrow the existing order, is that there's a kind of logic to that, those ideologies. And what the great political philosopher Eric Vergelin had to say about it is that this comes from a deep alienation within these people. And a lot of them are academics, and a lot of them are angry, teenagers or angry college students. And they get, they want to not just overthrow capitalism or overthrow the U.S. government or something. They want to overthrow the actual structure of reality, which basics, one of the basic things about reality is that is male and female. These are basic principles in that exist in nature, and they're real. They're not arbitrary social constructions, right? So, but they want to claim that gender is an artificial, is an arbitrary social construction. Whenever you hear that term, you're listening to an alienated academic talking. And so to create different pronouns, to try to destroy the idea of gender, is really an attempt to overthrow the structure of the universe, the God-given created, universe. Because one of the basic principles of it are male. Yeah, I mean, you got languages like French and Spanish and German, for example, in which you have masculine and feminine nouns. Every single noun, table, chair, desk, whatever, they're either masculine or feminine, right? And so this masculine and feminine thing is very deep in the human, the structures of the human mind and in our genetics. And they want to destroy it. They want to claim that it's made up. It's a system of dominance we have to overthrow.
Hold on, Deborah. Jeff, hold on. We'll get back after the break.
For the past 14 years, it's been my privilege to host the National Intel Report on RBN, to offer a platform to interview exceptional guests, to provoke critical thought, and examine evidence, whether real, fake, or somewhere in between, and allow our audience to call in and participate with your input and questions, in order to help us all reach an educated decision and arrive at our own truth. Our world has changed. It's now been turned on its head. Real is now considered fake, and mainstream fake is now pushed as real, rather than any clear thinking, consensus, or rationale.
Those few remaining beacons of light, the ones still shining through the mainstream media lies, propaganda, and deception, are being viciously attacked at every level through attempts at censorship, threatening advertisers, jailing hosts, and even killing journalists brave enough to speak the truth to you. We are in a war for our very freedom and existence, and through these despicable acts, freedom haters, collectivists, and communitarians have shown they will stop at nothing to blot out these last few beacons of light. Truth is becoming increasingly more difficult to unmask, just as the term unmasking itself is spoken by those usually anonymous sources. They promote their lies, wishing to mask the truths by ignoring it, vilifying it, or conspiratorializing it into a black hole abyss.
Regrettably, RBN has reached the tipping point, and through internal audit and actuarial review, it has now been determined that the only life raft of survival to this network is to go the way of PBS, that being audience supported. Like a cornered animal, the left with veracity is pulling out all the stops with every effort to effectively blacken our beacon forever. Help us, folks. Help yourselves. Don't let our light stop shining. Our motto has always been, because you can handle the truth. It's time to review your budget, folks. If you want the truth to keep flowing through RBN, go to republicbroadcasting.org and become a regular monthly donor of 30, 40, 50, or 100 or more a month and ensure you keep the truth flowing.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email ProudSouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
In the land of cotton, old town, there I'm not forgotten. Look away, look away, look away, Dixieland. In Dixie's land, where I was born in early on the frosty morning. Look away, look away, look away, Dixieland. Then I wish I was in Dixie. Hooray, hooray. In Dixie's land, I'll take my stand and live and die in Dixie. Away, 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 down south in Dixie.
All right, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. My website is thelibertyman.com. This hour is sponsored by EMP Shield. You want the same equipment, the exact same equipment the Department of Defense uses to protect your car, you can get them with a very nice $50 discount at thelibertyman.com. We have with us Jeff Nyquist. His website is jrnyquist.blog. His book is for sale at Amazon. And Leon Green, former U.S. Navy officer. Deborah, did you get a fairly comprehensive answer there, my dear?
Yeah, the only thing left was I guess Ogden and Richards had an argument between the theory of meaning words, and they were discussing a major problem in human communication is a speaker's tendency to treat words as if they were things in reality. And my only last question is, the people that are pushing pronouns, do they go back to these old scholars and pull this back out again? Because I mean, this was happening way back in the 1900s, but do they go back to these old people and try to relive it regarding pronouns?
Well, these are old philosophical arguments that go back to Aristotle and Plato, and philosophical arguments about what is language. What is it? You know, you had Richard Weaver wrote a book called Ideas Have Consequences back in, I think it was 1948, the book came out. It's a really important book because his thesis was that Western civilization began to degenerate because of nominalism, which was introduced in, I think, the 13th century by Occam, of Occam's razor. The idea of nominalism really opposed what Plato and Aristotle had been teaching, which was that words, represent, concepts and ideas are directly related to reality in a way that it's not just a word, is not just a casual thing. There's a deep meaning and deep meanings in words, and the words are deep, more deeply connected to reality. Nominalism says a word is just a tag for a thing. But nominalism says, look, there's a spiritual reality that underlies everything. And so there's this spiritual connection that words have, that is more fundamental, that the physical reality of the world of things is a changing world, that it is not the ultimate reality, that the ultimate reality is, you could say, spiritual. So, okay. And of course, Aristotle and Plato did not agree on all of this, but they each had their own, Aristotle wrote his Metaphysics and Plato had his Allegory of the Cave. So, the real danger in all these modern thinkers is that they don't think that words and language are really to be taken that seriously, that they can play with it and make their own meanings. And that's really a dangerous game.
Right. Right. Okay, well, thank you for...
Okay, thanks for the call, Deborah. We appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
Okay. Our next caller is Lynn in Maryland. Good morning, Lynn.
Hi, good morning, John. Good morning, everybody. Thank you. Y'all helped me. You got me over my stomachache most of the way. Actually, when you were talking, I was thinking about this article I read, and I found the paper because I'd kept it. That FBI, former FBI agent Charles McGonigal out of New York. Do you know about that, Jeff?
No.
Okay. You can find the article in February 14th's paper, the Washington Post. He actually, and he was head of counterintelligence. There's the real annoying rub. And when you read this thing, it reads like a novel, a spy novel. He was hooked up with folks in Albania, Russia, Oleg Deripaska. He got this Vulcan guy's daughter a job in New York. I mean,
Deripaska
and this
is a Russian oligarch,
FBI,
by the way.
Put everybody at risk. Pardon me?
Yeah. Yeah, Deripaska is a Russian oligarch, by the way. Famously, for the listeners who don't know. The thing is, when you're dealing with Albanian organized crime or Russian organized crime or oligarchs, you're dealing with people who are connected with the intelligence services. And if they're not, they're on the run or they're fearing assassination. Or they, you see these oligarchs, since the war began, have been assassinated. They've died with their whole families. And there's all these stories, falling out of windows all the time. It's because they're in a kind of mafia. You see, when you're in a mafia and you don't do what the big boss says, or you're considered disobedient or they're unsatisfied with you, you don't get a demotion. You get, they put a hit out on you and they get rid of you. Yeah, some friends of the Clintons died recently, and there's always been allegations that so many people die around the Clintons because they're part of a mafia, which I think they are. It's the same mafia that the KGB is running, I think.
Let's hold on. We'll wrap up this part of our conversation after the break. We'll be right back.
Okay. Thank you all very much.
Okay. Thank you, Ellen.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Einstein once said, "Future medicine will be the medicine of frequencies." What did he know? Imagine you hear ocean waves caressing a beach, or a favorite song from the past, or the trickle of the babbling brook. All of these are sound frequencies that positively affect us. Terahertz is a soothing, healing frequency that has been proven to resonate at the same frequency as healthy cells. It penetrates the body and stimulates new healthy cell growth. Want to diminish muscle aches, joint pains, and experience a greater sense of well-being? Tired of spending money on short-term remedies that never seem to work? Soothing, healing, relaxing terahertz frequency is now available and as handy as flipping a switch. Terahertz technology is changing the course of what we were taught about how to maintain our health and well-being. To read more about this amazing breakthrough and to order your terahertz frequency wand, go to naturalearthmedicine.com. That's naturalearthmedicine.com.
Hello, I'm Dr. Leonard Horowitz. I was right 30 years ago in warning the world about threatening lab virus outbreaks, AIDS, and Ebola. I was right 20 years ago when FBI Director Robert Mueller made me a suspect in the anthrax mailings because I warned the Bureau before the CIA's biocrime and Cipro sales psyops happened. I was right about COVID-19 being an AIDS-laced mutagen plan to resurge this fall to excuse officials' profitable depopulation globalization agendas. And I was right about the only safeguards being antioxidants and holy spiritual sustenance. Vitamin C, D, zinc, chlorophyll, oxygen, and oxysilver especially transmits the frequency resonance to neutralize the expanded function bioweapon. Oxysilver is a double superconductor of the healing power of love. It is the first nutraceutical invented to amplify prayer power and the faithful, loving intention of your heart. Buy, try, and stockpile OxySilver through HealthyWorldStore.com.
In times like these, you can't depend on the government to keep you warm and fed, but you can depend on the Vermont Bun Baker to do just that. With a Vermont Bun Baker, you'll never be in a situation where you can't cook, bake, fry, boil water, or heat your home all at the same time. One of the most revolutionary cook stoves, wood stoves ever, the Vermont Bun Baker is available with or without soapstone veneer, a natural stone that retains heat and radiates it back into the room once the fire is out. A beautiful addition to your home, the Vermont Bun Baker has an efficiency rating well above 75% and qualifies for the wood stove tax credit. For more information, watch the Vermont Bun Baker on YouTube and live stream or visit us at www.vermontwoodstove.com. You can also reach us by calling 1-866-SOAPSTONE. Don't ever be hungry or cold because the power's gone out. With a Vermont Bun Baker, all you have to worry about is what's for dinner.
But I'd like to ask each of you what it is you value so highly that you are willing to fight and possibly die for. We will call that Texas. The Mexican army hopes to lure us into attempting escape. Almost anything seems better than remaining in this place, penned up. If, however, we force the enemy to attack, I believe every one of you will prove himself worth 10 in return. We will not only show the world what patriots are made of, but we will also deal a crippling blow to the Army of Santa Ana.
If anyone wishes to depart under the white flag of surrender, you may do so now. You have that right.
But if you wish to stay here with me in the Alamo, we will sell our lives dearly.
All right, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. My website is thelibertyman.com. That's thelibertyman.com. There's things there you'll find, literally find, nowhere else on the internet. That's very true. Nowhere else. The latest intelligence briefing put together by my friend, a former counterintelligence agent. If you want to know what's going on the planet, it's open source material, and we'll really bring you up to speed on what's going on. The humor section is a lot of fun. We need humor in our lives. And, of course, products that will help you, such as the Liberator rocket heater, which is mine, is going just a few feet from me, keeping the whole house nice and warm and cozy. And, of course, energy cleaners. It's my home business. If you're tired of being tired, if your arthritis pain has you down, check out the energy cleaner at my website. You can make your purchase right there. For your energy cleaner, your mattress pad that goes with it using PayPal, MasterCard, Visa. Do your homework. Do your research. Keep in mind, I offer a 90-day money-back guarantee on the energy cleaner. The toll-free our line to order your energy cleaner, your mattress pad, is 800-592-9543. This is Tuesday Morning Roundtable. We have with us Leon Green, former U.S. Navy officer, Jeff Nyquist. His website is jrnyquist.blog. His books for sale at Amazon. Gentlemen, our next caller is John in Texas. Good morning, John.
Hello?
You're on the air. Go ahead.
Okay, I have a question. I sent Jeff Nyquist a link to a YouTube by the Paul, the U.S. Army veteran, and he says that the Ukraine war has changed the nature of warfare in three major ways. What is your opinion of Paul, the U.S. Army veteran? And I would say that it's currently being fought. The war is more like World War One than World War Two. It's being rather static with artillery, except that the direction of artillery is more systematic and precise than in World War One. It's kind of a cross between.
The firepower and the accuracy of the weapons, which has continually increased since World War II, makes attacking more and more difficult. And unless you have extremely well-trained forces that know how to use covering ground and you have coordinated strikes and suppressing fire, unless you have that extreme coordination, which neither the Russian nor the Ukrainian armies possess, you are going to get slaughtered as you advance across the open, which is like what happened in World War One. So this is why it settled down into an artillery battle. You have so many tank losses in the early mobile phase of the war where the Russians were trying to encircle Kiev, and you had heavy airborne losses of Russian airborne troops because they dropped them where there was no cover, and they also got a number of the aircraft shot down that were carrying the paratroopers. So mobile warfare requires really good operations and discipline and training and good leadership all the way up, you know, in terms of the design of the operations. And the Russians and Ukrainians don't have that. So the war has bogged down into this World War One style. Now, whether that would apply to the U.S., look at the U.S. invasion of Iraq. For example, that was sort of a blitzkrieg, right? Saddam Hussein had a relatively large army, but it didn't have the competence that the U.S. Army and the Marines had. So they just basically rolled through them and destroyed them, their positions. So it depends on the training and the use of the weapons, I would say. But it, you know, certainly the firepower of weapons is going to make, you know, it tricky to attack any position. It's true.
Well, as the attrition winds on, I mean, what is the, what else is there? What is your opinion of I guess he was in Afghanistan, the Army combat veteran, as he calls these styles himself. What do you think of his analysis of the situation or the various situations, or what are his limitations?
Well, I haven't read all about him, but I think, you know, he knows his business. It's interesting. It's something to take account of.
Right, but as the war grinds on, I mean, as the casualties keep piling up and the strain on the economy keeps getting more and more, and they start becoming more, and the Chinese become more and more involved, and all the other. How is this going to affect the population? And as it you know, as there's deterioration of the economy. What is this going to do, and how are things eventually going to come to a head? Or is somebody going to have to do something dramatic, or is something going to have to give, and somebody's going to collapse?
Well, see, that's the great unknown. Look, you have mutinies in the Russian army where soldiers are refusing to fight. You've got severe morale problems where the soldiers know they're being used as cannon fodder. They know that they're being used irresponsibly by the commanders. As you know, here you go out there, you stand out there and you absorb artillery while we try to locate the enemy artillery that's firing at you to knock them out. So you're cannon fodder. You're quite frankly being sacrificed. The U.S. military doesn't, you know, generally operate like that. They want to preserve their forces. They want to keep them from being destroyed. The Russians are operating on this old World War II way of fighting the war. And as far as the Ukrainians go, Ukrainian morale is not breaking down as yet. And, of course, the damage to their economy and infrastructure just makes them angrier. What happened to the Germans in World War II is why did they kept fighting until Hitler was dead in his bunker, or they believed he was dead in his bunker, because that was the announcement from the government. So the Ukrainians have this morale because they're fighting for their homeland. And they have more competent leadership than the Russians, because they should have lost the war already and they didn't. But the Ukrainians are doing it right to the best of their ability, I think. But the Russians, who had all the cards to play, misplayed them. And so it's going to be interesting to see whether the Russian morale holds, because dissatisfaction is going to grow in Russia as this goes on. And NATO is, you know, there's this, the Russians are trying to use propaganda like they did in the Vietnam War, where GRU defector Stanislav Lunev said, that they spent more money on propaganda in the United States than they did on the army of North Vietnam and the Viet Cong, and that was good money spent, because they won the war in Vietnam here in the United States by putting the idea in people's heads that the war was unwinnable by us when we were winning all the battles. So that's what they're trying to do. They're trying to get everybody to believe that Ukraine has lost, and that it's a stupid cause, and it's senseless, and we need to not support them, so that they will collapse. But it doesn't take a whole lot of support, because the Ukrainians are so motivated to keep their army in the field. And there's lots of countries. Look, the Baltic state countries are giving 1% of their gross domestic product to support Ukraine. I mean, if the U.S. did that, the war would be over tomorrow. The Russians would immediately demoralize at that thought. We're not even giving 1% of our budget, of our federal budget, which is not 1% of our GDP. So there's other countries that are making enormous sacrifices because they know they're going to be taken over next. Countries like the Scandinavian countries, the Baltic states, Poland, they're very worried. And I'd be worried too, because the people they really want to kill and destroy, the Russian leaders and the Chinese leaders, is us. That's who they really want to kill. They're just going through. They have to go through Ukraine. They have to settle Ukraine and conquer it before they can be in a position to come after us. That's the nature of the strategy of the situation. And that's why it's so important that we keep Ukraine, you know, independent of Russia. They don't have to be a NATO member. We don't want to threaten Russia, but we want to be safe from Russia and China. You know, I'm not for some annihilating war. I'm just for defending America. It's the cheapest way to defend us right now.
Okay. Any follow-up there, John, before we move on?
Yeah, our two things. Are tanks obsolete?
No, I don't think so. They've been claimed that tanks are obsolete. I don't think so. The tanks are vulnerable to certain other weapons, and you look at the U.S. tanks. You know, in the battles that we've been in, how many tanks have we lost? If you follow the right tactics, if you use the weapon properly, if you protect yourself, if you have air supremacy, there's nothing wrong with tanks. And even if you can just contest the air, there's nothing wrong with them. What's wrong with tanks in the Ukraine war is the Russian tanks. The new anti-tank rockets basically exploit a weakness. They're vulnerable from the top, and the ammunition in the turret is vulnerable to being exploded. So once that rocket penetrates the turret, it explodes the ammunition in the tank, blows up. We don't have that problem in our tanks. So the Russian tanks have, in terms of these newer weapons, the Russian tanks are just badly designed. So it's a problem with their tanks, not ours.
Okay. A very comprehensive answer there, as always, Jeff. And John, we do thank you for your call. We appreciate it. Looks like Steve Benoon got distracted. He had something he had to do this morning. He was going to try to fit in some time for us, but that obviously didn't happen. And Jeff, I was reading this morning, the first hour, I talked about a California female gym teacher who's been fired because she refuses to lie to the parents of mentally disturbed children who have what's called gender dysphoria and other things. She's refused to let boys into the locker room. You were going to be a professional school teacher yourself. Things weren't quite that bad when you left, were they?
Oh, no, that would have been inconceivable back in the 1980s.
So who owns the children? Whose children are they? That's my question. Clearly the school thinks that the children belong to them since they can, I think, improperly and probably unethically and certainly illegally withhold vital information from the parents. How is that even possible?
Well, it goes back to that earlier caller who asked about the meaning of words. the idea that male and female is something that we can rearrange by rearranging words or pronouns is not just absurd and pernicious. It's subversive and it will destroy our society. So this lady is doing a great thing by standing up for the actual concept of male and female, and that these two things need to be, well, in ancient times they were considered sacred, the concepts themselves. You know, this is an essential part of the universe.
Absolutely.
That God made.
Absolutely. You know, we got a call here.
You're destroying it, yeah.
Let's go ahead and take this caller. This will be our last caller, Jeff in Canada. Good morning, Jeff.
Hi, yeah, I just wanted to call in. Here's what I hope happens. I hope Russia crushes Ukraine, okay, teaches a lesson to the satanic West. They want to surround and destroy Russia, and Russia will not let it happen. The idea that they're going to go into the rest of Europe is pure garbage. That's what I think. Okay? And I hope...
Okay,
that Putin would catch the corrupt Ukrainian government, including that pervert who leads it, that sicko, okay, and blow them to bits. That's what I hope happens. As far as that whole thing about Russia not falling, it's garbage. Bye.
Okay, Jeff, thank you for your call. Well, everybody's entitled to their own opinion, Jeff, aren't they?
Yeah, unfortunately, it's not a very well-informed one. Look, this man is alienated, and he's very angry at his own society because it doesn't hold to the Christian values that I suspect that he believes in. And so he is so alienated, he is believing Russian propaganda, which is to exploit his alienation for their purposes. So he's ended up becoming that. That's unfortunate. Everything in the world is very messy. And we can't have the world. The world isn't just the way we want it or some. It doesn't all work out for us. There's good people and bad people in the West.
Absolutely.
And the West isn't satanic, so we all need to die then. Russia needs to destroy us or destroy Ukraine. One of the problems with his claim is that if you read the demands that Russia made in December, I think it was like December 17th of 2021 before the invasion, Russia demanded the West get out of Eastern Europe. They wanted them out of the Baltic states, Poland, and Ukraine. And they were uncertain. And then they were Russia denied they were preparing or planning to invade Ukraine, which was a lie. And anyone can go back and Google it and see that they lied about planning to invade Ukraine because they invaded Ukraine, so they had to have planned it. And they invaded it the very next month that they made these demands. And it wasn't just demanding Ukraine. They were demanding the Baltic states and Poland. So you can see the intention. And Mr. Lukashenko, president of Belarusia, which is in military union with Russia, from which the Russian troops launched their attack, a good part of their attack into Ukraine, he actually stated after the invasion that Poland was next. So, you know, they're not stopping there. And those nuclear weapons are pointed at us. Now, that's, you know, if we're so unredeemable that we need to be destroyed, but you see, the thing is that Putin's Russia is satanic. Putin's an assassin. He's a murderer.
All right. We'll get back after the break. We'll get Leon Green's summary first, and then we'll have Jeff's summary after that. We'll be right back.
John Moore's private consultations are the most comprehensive services available any place, anywhere in the world. They're available now and provide valuable knowledge and information that protects an individual, family, or group. We provide clarity, focus, and information for you and your associates for any situation. We have just the right knowledge, just the right information from just the right professionals. Schedule your consultation for your family or group now. Contact us at thelibertyman.com. That's thelibertyman.com. Once again, thelibertyman.com.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste by going to rbnhemppaste.com. That's rbnhemppaste.com.
February is Heart Month. Every year for the month of February, to show our appreciation to Extendivite's faithful customers, we have a sale. If you would like to try Extendivite, now is the time to get a few months ahead and really give Extendivite the time to show you how it works. Most of Extendivite's long-term customers wait for this sale to stock up. People and doctors tell us about the unbelievable improvements that they have experienced in their overall health, not just the heart. Extendivite wants you to experience the power of these herbs. Get a four-month supply for only $115 for either the capsules or tincture. Please take advantage of this once-per-year sale and get healthy for life. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or find us on Amazon.
Extend your life with
Extendovite. Fix bayonets.
Lay me down in the cauldron where a fall. Many men have gone.
Okay. I think we're back. let's get our summaries. Looked like Steve Bannon was in a different time zone and got rather disoriented as to what time zone he's actually in. So we'll look forward to having Steve back next week. So let's go ahead and, Leon, we'll give your summary. You got about a minute and a half, and then we'll wrap it up with Jeff.
Got it. Well, there are so many things happening right now, and what we can do, just like the lady out in California, she stood up to the tyranny of the superintendent, and they fired her, but she's still going to pursue them, and it'll probably go to Supreme Court. If it gets past the Ninth District Court with all their radical ideas, and it'll definitely get to the Supreme Court. So the aspect is stand up and resist tyranny where you can and educate yourself as much as possible. But I believe in practicality, getting a group of community-minded people to make a difference. So you have food, water. This is like Hunger Games. And they do predictive programming like that, Skynet, Terminator, all these things come in iRobot. And so if they are telling you what they plan on doing and they are bringing it to light, like with the movie on Netflix, White Noise, and they're bringing it to life, then you have to make efforts now to make a difference and make an impact because, you know, seeds are available at Walmart and other locations. Start getting these things now because you're going to be ultimately responsible to feed your own family, not the government. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Leon. Jeff, your summary, please. We've got about a minute and a half.
Well, the last caller said that we were surrounding Russia. So Russia's 11 time zones. So let me get this straight. We surrounded Russia by having Alaska on the east to the east of Russia, and then there's NATO to the west. Those things have been there since the early 1950s, and Alaska, the Russians sold it to us themselves. So they surrounded themselves. I don't understand surrounding a country of 11 time zones. Wherever Russia isn't our countries that Russia has bullied or attacked in the past. Japan doesn't even, I don't think, has a peace treaty from World War II, and the Russians are still occupying Japanese land from World War II. Russia also has China as an ally, so Russia isn't completely surrounded. So I don't understand these claims. A few very frightened small countries like the Baltic states and of course Poland in Finland are so frightened of Russia. They want to join this alliance, this defensive alliance, this consensus organization called NATO, which is so mixed up that Turkey has blocked the entrance of Sweden and Finland into NATO because of internal squabbles. So this is an alliance that can't even after many months of trying, can't even get its act together to get new members. So,
Jeff, thank you, sir. We'll have you back in the morning, and we thank you very much. Leon, thank you, sir. That's it for today. Get medical supplies, your energy, cleaning, essential oils now while you can, your firearms, ammunition. Never ever give up your guns. Please have a fun, safe, productive day, and God bless my beautiful county, Crawford County, Missouri, the lovely state of Missouri I get to live in, the even larger, beautiful state of Texas. And Lord, please God bless the United States of America.
Standing 6'4", weighing in 245 pounds of crime-fighting, political science-analyzing brawn, ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Patrick Slattery.
So, Mike, get off this anti-cicada agenda.
I'm a born-again traditional Christian, and my favorite possessions are right here on my nightstand. That would be the King James Bible and my .357 revolver.
I'd rather be ruled by Chinamen than Jews.
Cool it with the anti-Semitic remarks, right?
Just because you steal an election and terminate the republic doesn't mean you terminate the people in the republic, because we're still here.
I'm not taking the vaccine. Fuck you, Bill Gates.
There was a way forward still on January 6th. What needed to be done is to object to every single state.
The COVID-19 virus was the setup. The vaccine could very well be the bioweapon.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show. Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.